1 Corinthians chapter number 4. We'll look at a couple of verses in just a moment or two. Let me just say this as we make preparations for our annual Grace Giving Missions Conference coming up in just about 2 weeks or so. On the back table back there, we have some current prayer cards of some of the missionaries that have recently reported to this church, and some of our we've been supporting for a number of years, and some that will look perhaps to support, should it be the church's will, after the missions conference. Go back there and look at those prayer cards. Take one if you haven't gotten one of someone that you're going to be praying for. And then as well, you'll find a couple different brochures. There's one that's printed out by the church office that talks about grace-giving. Grace-giving, what is it? And if you read through that, you'll see that it was from last year, but the dates are a little different on the inside, but it's still the same information. Then on the left of that is some pre-printed information about grace-giving missions. We want you to have a full understanding of exactly what we mean when we say grace-giving missions. So I trust you'll make your way over to that table, and you'll avail yourself of those things that God leads you to do so. Well, it's about that time of year. You say, well, Pastor, what time of year is it? Well, is it fall? Oh, yes, it's fall. It's not quite fall yet by the calendar date, but it's getting to be fall, amen? Cooler temperatures, the humidity is starting to drop. We're thankful for that. You say, is it time for everything to appear pumpkin at the Kroger grocery store? Yeah, maybe it is, amen. I happened to be at another rival Kroger yesterday to pick something up, and I happened to go down the bread aisle, and I found one of my most favorite things of all, and it is pumpkin English muffins, amen. There is nothing better than pumpkin English muffins, unless they're cranberry English muffins that come out around Christmas time. So is it fall? Is it time for pumpkins to appear? Or how about this? Is it time for you to decorate your house with all those fall things? And I know that some of you like to decorate with fall things. I know my wife usually does as well, and that's a wonderful thing. But listen, we could answer yes to every one of those questions that I ask you. And besides that, you probably have some questions or some things about fall that you could put in there as well. I could say, yes, it is time for that. But that's not what I'm speaking about this morning. I'm referring to our annual journey that we take as a church body on this idea of giving and stewardship in light of the upcoming Grace Giving Missions Conference, September the 16th, which is a Wednesday, all the way through the 18th, so Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And by the way, we're going to be at Victory at Calvary Baptist Church there in Buckaroo Beach, and we're combining with them as we normally do for those 3 days. We'll take Saturday off, and then Sunday we'll meet back here for our normal services. Dr. O'Malley and a missionary that we currently support will be with us for the evening service. And that Sunday morning, we'll be receiving those total stewardship commitment cards that you were handed out today. And so don't fill those out yet. Just keep praying about what would God have me to give in my total stewardship commitment in and through Sharon Baptist Church. So that's what I'm speaking about. And the truth is simply this, that we can't really even speak about grace giving to missions until we have a correct handle on our regular giving. You say, what's our regular giving? Our regular giving is none other than our tithes and our offerings in and through the local New Testament church. And so we have to get a handle on that at first. And I can already hear the sighs that are coming from some of the pews this morning. I can see the eyeballs rolling in your heads this morning when we speak about tithing, God's plan for His church and His children. But that's okay. If you're like me, I love it when a pastor preaches on tithing. I love it when he preaches on giving the faith promise giving. You say, why is that? Because I love it because it doesn't convict me unless it convicts me to give more than I already am giving. And I can shout, amen, glory, hallelujah. Get on them people, Pastor, amen, who are not giving the way that God would have them to give, because I'm already giving as God has commands me to do. So let's stand this morning as to give respect to the reading of God's word. We'll read just two verses here in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. Then we'll pray as we think on this thought of tithing, God's plan for His children and His church. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that that a man be found faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time we can gather together as friends and family here this morning, Father, and think about this idea of tithing, God's plan for his children and church. So, Father, I pray now that you would speak to hearts, Father. And I pray, Lord, that we'll come away having a greater understanding of this matter of tithing and giving. And, Lord, that you'll receive honor and glory through it. For we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. According to this passage, everyone here today is a steward. And that means everyone has been entrusted by God with certain things in their life. We've been entrusted, if you're saved today, with the testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We've been entrusted with talents and spiritual gifts. And by the way, if you're saved and born again, the Bible tells us that you have at least one spiritual gift. Some people have more than one. Besides that, God entrusts you with your talents, such as our piano player and those playing the instruments and those doing other things around the house of the Lord. He's entrusted you with that. He's entrusted you with this matter of your time that you have in your life. We often don't think about this, but really our time is not our time. It's God's time that he allows us to use. And all of us, and that includes me and that includes you, have been entrusted with the treasures or the blessings that God has given us down through the years. And so today I want us to consider this thought about being good stewards of the money or the treasures that God has entrusted us with. Heard a story about a particular church that was setting their proposed budget for the year. And they asked their members to fill out, just like we do, a total stewardship commitment card. And that way the church could have some kind of educated guess on what they could expect to receive in the coming year. And so it is important for the church leadership to have at least the educated guess about how much finances will be coming in and through the local church as they plan out their mission year and plan out their fiscal year as well. So in response to that, the church received a letter. And the letter went something like this. In reply to your request for a commitment, I wish to inform you that the conditions of my bank account has made it impossible to provide one. My shattered financial condition is due to federal laws, state laws, city laws, brother-in-laws, and unfortunately, outlaws. I'm required to get a business license, dog license, and marriage license. I also contribute to every charity and organization which the genius of man is capable of bringing to life, including the Red Cross, the Purple Cross, and, of course, the Double Cross. For my own safety, I carry life insurance, property insurance, liability insurance, auto insurance, earthquake insurance, and now I have to carry flood insurance. And as a result of all this, I tried to give an inexhaustible supply of money for every known need, desire, and hope of the human race. And when I don't, I am talked about, held up, and even robbed. Now, Pastor, had that not unexpected happened, I could not have enclosed a check with this letter. For a dog that has come to my door begging every day just had pups in my kitchen. I sold those puppies, and here is your share, 10% of the puppy fee. All of us know that the demands that money places on us each and every day. And we know this, that money is hard to acquire. And we all think twice before letting go of the money that we have been given. When it comes to money, most of us are kind of like the man who loved his money so very much that he was walking home from work one night and a robber stopped him, and from behind he put a gun to his back and he told him this. He said, "Your money or your life?" The man with a long silence didn't say anything. And finally the robber again said, "Your money or your life?" The man said, all right, I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking about it." Well, let's see how you and I can be good stewards of the finances of money that God has given each and every one of us. Notice, first of all, God's plan of tithing. God's plan of tithing. Notice there are those who believe that God's plan of tithing has already run its course. And by that I simply mean this. There are those who believe that tithing was something that only applied to the Old Testament period and does not any longer apply to the New Testament period. And those who think that really need our prayers for at least two different reasons. Number one, because they're ignorant of what the Scriptures has to say about tithing. And number two, because Satan is using their ignorance to rob them of one of the greatest blessings that God could give back to them. You see, it's very easy to prove that God's plan of tithing was to continue outside of the Old Testament into the church age as well. We're not going to turn there, but in Matthew 23, we find the scribes and the Pharisees still believed in the practice of tithing. Now think about it. We think about the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew. That is the New Testament. And the Bible said in Matthew 23 and verse 23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin." So the Lord was really saying this, that they tithe the very littlest thing that they received. Let me illustrate it to you this way. If there is a woman that had a garden and produced condiments like mint and anise and cumin, they would tithe off the smallest thing that came off those plants. They meticulously tithe off every little thing in their lives. You can tell they weren't Baptists, that's for sure, amen. So even though they tithed, there were many other things that they should have been concerned about, but we find they didn't even give it a second thought. So look at what Jesus said, "And have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment and mercy and faith, these ought you have done, and not to leave the other undone." So we find that Jesus is not condemning their giving of the tithe. He's commending it. And he says, listen, you ought to have done those things, giving of tithes. But he said, there's other things such as law and judgment and mercy and faith. So regarding this, the Lord told those who were his contemporaries there that day, "These things ye ought to have done, and not to leave the other undone." I don't know how you can get any other answer from this as well, but we find the Lord is again commending the giving of tithe. The tithing was in the Old Testament. It's over into the church age as well. So notice, secondly, every child of God ought to tithe. Let me just say this. I really appreciate those parents who teach their young children at a very, very early age to give a tithe. It doesn't matter if they earned it from their allowance or grandmother gave it for their birthday or for Christmas gifts. You teach your children to give 10% to God. Turn in your Bibles to Malachi chapter number 3. Malachi is pretty easy to find. It's the last book of the Old Testament. If you could find Matthew, just turn left and you'll find the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter number 3. And we're going to look at verse number 10, Malachi 3 and verse number 10. Let me just say that for those who are visiting here and our regular members and attenders here at Sharon Baptist Church, that I normally only preach about giving one time a year, and that is in preparation for our faith promise giving, because we cannot really rightly give a faith promise offering unless we have a handle on this giving first. This giving comes first, and then we find that our faith promise comes. So let's look here in Malachi 3 and verse number 10. I'll read the whole verse, but we'll concentrate just on the first part. "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it." Notice what it said at the very beginning, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse." Look at that word "bring." If we think about that word "bring," what does it mean? It literally means this: bring forth or bring into, to come to or to enter in. Even secular history tells us that most of the families of that day relied on farming or cattle or sheep or something along that way to make their living. And so with their own two hands, a farmer would clear and plow the land. They would plant the seeds and they would irrigate their crops day in and day out. They would cultivate the plants. They would pull the weeds and fertilize and eventually harvest those crops. And when they brought in the harvest, their tables would be full of the food that they have harvested. But the truth of the matter is, those smart farmers would recognize this, that it wasn't all their doing to receive that much bountiful blessings. They recognized that without God's help, they would have nothing on this table. And because they recognized that they partnered with God in bringing this bountiful harvest in, that they would partner with God and they would give God back one-tenth of the harvest to the house of the Lord. Listen. This farmer could have had an attitude problem like some of us do at times. He could have said to himself, he could have looked at his wife and he said, I don't know why I need to give God one-tenth of all that we have done. I worked hard for that crop. I did this all by myself. I don't remember seeing God pushing the plow. I don't remember seeing God plant the wheat. I don't remember seeing God hoe those weeds or help me harvest the crop. I did it all by myself. Well, not only should every child of God tithe, but notice, some people are quick to object to tithing. We hear statements like this: God didn't give me anything. The money that I have, I earned it with my own two hands. I can't tell you how many times I've heard someone say that. And that's one of the most ignorant statements that a person ever could make. There's not one ounce of truth to that statement. Not one ounce. For example, those who say that they have what they have because they earned it with their own two hands never really considered this thought, that without God, they would never have those hands to earn what those two hands have earned. It was God who created those hands. It was God who gave them a brain to be able to create and cause those things with their hands to grow and be able to be a help and a blessing to them. It was God who gave them the strength to use those two hands. So when people talk about what they have done and earned with their own two hands, they're showing their ignorance of God and ignorance of themselves as well. Whatever a person does to make his living, they do in partnership with God. And the person has a part to do, and God has a part to do. They work together to produce what they're making. I think today many people's attitudes are like this little boy. This little boy was given two quarters and told to put them in the Sunday school offering, and the other one he could keep for himself. As they ran down the street, the little boy tripped and he dropped one quarter. And as try as he might, the quarter rolled down to the storm drain. And he tried to reach his hand down in there and retrieve that quarter from it. He just could not get that quarter out of the storm drain. As he got up and brushed himself off, having his other quarter in his hand, he looked up to heaven. He said, God, oops, sorry, God, your quarter fell into the drain, amen. I think too many times you and I kind of feel just like that. Well, we see, fourthly, God's plan for financing the spread of the gospel is very simple. You see, it's simple because I don't have to do it on my own. God and I become partners. God allows people, get this now, to take 9/10 of what they make. Then God trusts us to give him at least the 1/10 that he has commanded. Now think about it. If it would have been you and I, and we would have been in the place of God, we would have said, you give me 9/10 and you keep the 1/10. But God says, oh no, I just want 1/10 and you take care of, be a good steward of the 9/10. And God's plan for financing his local New Testament church has always been through the tithes and offerings of his people. Every now and again, someone will come up in my years of ministry and say, Pastor, I got a wonderful idea how we can buy this. I got a wonderful idea how we can raise money by doing this and to support the church or buy these special things that we need. And maybe they would say, you know, the Catholic Church does bingo. Some people do car washes. The church down the street, the Lutheran Church, has spaghetti dinners. They have garage sales and bake sales. And man, they sell candy at Christmas time and at Easter, sell Easter eggs. We can raise money that way. I want you to listen to me and don't take this wrong. God has a better idea than garage sales and bake sales and car washes and spaghetti sales. suppers. He said that he would bless us with health and strength and provide us with a job. So listen, go to work. And when you're paid, take your one-tenth of what God has entrusted you with as income and use it to support the house of the Lord. And since I'm already here, let me just say this. Do you say, well, Pastor, do I give off the net or I give off the gross of my paycheck? And I sometimes say this. Listen, if you want a gross blessing, give off the gross. If you want a net blessing from God, give off the net. I prefer giving off the gross blessing, amen, because I want God to bless me. So I want you to understand this. That's not my plan. It's not the deacon's plan. By the way, this is God's plan to take care of his local New Testament church. He ordained the church to operate through tithes and the offerings of his people. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and verse number 2. Notice what God has to say about the collection for the saints. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Notice what it says. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Do we understand this? That God never ordained the local church to operate any other way. On the way he designed for the local New Testament church, on the way he designed Sharon Baptist Church to operate is through the giving of his people. His plan for financing the church has always been and always will be to give as God prospers and God's people work for what they get. Understand this, his plan has always been, bring ye, notice the word, all the tithes into the storehouse. Well, Malachi 3 and verse number 8, if you still have your place there, you could follow along again. Notice what it says, Malachi 3 and verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? Notice what God says, in tithes and offerings. So you say, Pastor, I am required to give tithes? Yes. Am I required to give an offering every now and again? Yes. Let me illustrate it to you this way. You come in on Sunday morning and say you make $1,000 and you write your tithe check to God through Sharon Baptist Church for $100. You put it in the offering plate. That's your tithe. But you come back Sunday night and guess what? We're Baptists. We pass the offering plate around again. So guess what? God expects you to give an offering. Now, you give as God has prospered you. Maybe, you're a typical Baptist. You put a dollar in there or $5 or $20, whatever you have. But understand, God expects tithes and offerings. We come back on Wednesday, and guess what? Last time I checked, we're still Baptists on Wednesday. We do what? Pass the offering plate around again. You say, you sure do take a lot of offerings. Oh, yes, we do, amen. Because we know this, that it's not all about us. It's about you giving, that God would bless you for your giving. And so we understand, can a man rob God and get away with it? I think you would have to answer this, no. You cannot rob God and get away with it. Understand this, that there has been times as I was growing in the Lord early in my ministry when I did not give God a tithe. But you know what? God got his tithe. You say, how is that? Well, my car broke down, or the washing machine broke down, or the groceries didn't stretch out. I'm telling you, God will get his tithe one way or another. Listen, a man might rob a bank and perhaps never get caught. It's kind of hard in this day and age, but understand this. No one robs the creator of this universe and gets away with it. Listen, God will catch up with you. I think when Israel robbed God, he told him this, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even the whole nation. So we see it wasn't just a localized thing. We find the whole totality of the nation of Israel was not giving their tithe. Understand this, they did not get away with it. And if God's not going to let Israel get away with it in the Old Testament, he's not going to let you in the church age get away with it as well. And so on the other hand, we find that when Israel obeyed the word, God blessed them with great blessings. And not only do we see God's plan for tithing, notice secondly, God's purpose for the tithe. What is this purpose for the tithe? Back to Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10. The Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. God's house is referred to as the storehouse. Let me help you. No one in Malachi's day was confused where God's storehouse was. Listen, they didn't wake up and say, well, where am I to take my tithe to? They understood what the storehouse was. People today don't have that same kind of understanding. But if you look at it biblically, it's very clearly to see that today the tithe belongs to the local New Testament church. And today we have all kinds of organizations, Christian radio stations and TV stations and individuals, and they make this claim that they are God's storehouse. And every year, these individuals and every year, these organizations that claim to be storehouses of God rob God's church from the tithe. When people claim that they have a ministry, we need to ask ourselves two different questions. We need to ask ourselves, first of all, what is their ministry? And today, so many ministries exist for the sole purpose of telling people daily and repeatedly and weekly where they can send their check, where they can call in for their donations on their credit card. Think about a pastor's church who was located near an older neighborhood. And many of the residents there by this time were elderly widows. And one day near the end of the month, the pastor saw the postman. And the pastor asked him, do you have a lot of mail to deliver today? The postman answered him, oh, yes, sir. This is a heavy time of the month. And you know, this neighborhood has many widows and many elderly people. The pastor said, well, I would not think that would affect the mail until the first of the month when all the Social Security checks go out. The mailman said, that's a heavy time too, but it's a heavy time now because all those TV and radio preachers and Christian organizations are sending out letters begging for money before the elderly people get their Social Security checks. Notice again that God said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. He didn't say a thing about sending them to a preacher or a ministry or an organization on the TV or the internet. He said, bring it into the storehouse. Or for that matter, any other parachurch organizations. And there are some good parachurch organizations. We would like to think this morning, when the tithes and the offerings and the love gifts and grace giving are being collected, what if I would say this to you? Today I would like everyone to make your tithe and offering checks out to me. I held up a placard that made sure you know how to spell my last name so the bank doesn't really get confused. I know what you'd be thinking. You'd be thinking, Pastor, that pastor has flipped his gourd. I'm not going to do that. Just because you know me, and just because you maybe respect me, does it make it right for you to do with that, with God's money? Yet people do it every day of their lives. Think about this. Why would a person send money to a man they don't even know? They don't know if he's saved. They don't know if he's honest and pays his bills. They don't know if he beats his wife, or if he drinks, smokes, cusses, or lies. You don't know if he's been married 10 times or married to the lady his first marriage. They don't know if he's shacking up with his wife. You don't know if he's ever been ordained by a local New Testament Baptist church. Too many don't know things about the people or the organizations that they send money to. Yet millions of people send their tithe dollars are sent to these individuals, these organizations, for them to do with as they please. What are you saying, Pastor? You're saying don't send any parachurch organization any money. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you want to send them an offering, that's wonderful if you feel led to do so, but not your tithe. Some Christians are bad stewards of the money that God has entrusted them with. And when people say they have a ministry, we need to investigate not only what their ministry is, but secondly, we need to ask ourselves, is this ministry church affiliated? If it's not church affiliated, guess what? It doesn't meet the criteria of being a ministry. It might be a Christian business, but it's not a ministry. It might be a Christian organization, but it's not a ministry. Ministry flows from the local New Testament church. And we need to be careful to ask ourselves this: is this man or this ministry affiliated with a local New Testament church? And if he is, the church is a Bible-preaching, Bible-practicing church just like ours. And why is that so important? Well, if a man's not affiliated with a Bible-preaching, Bible-practicing church, it's probably because he knows that such a church would never endorse him, his work, or his ministry. For example, we get a call here with Sharon Baptist Church for a missionary seeking support. One of the first things that we find out is, what church is this sending church? Or what mission board is he going through? If the missionary returns back these answers, well, I'm not with any church, I'm not recognized by any mission board, then listen, we'd be foolish to take God's grace-giving finances and support him. Why was it so foolish? Because he understands that the missionary probably lacks a church or a recognized mission board endorsements because he does not fill Bible requirements. And if a man isn't affiliated with a like-minded church, he cannot be considered part of a scriptural ministry. Listen, we ought to be good stewards. And part of being a good steward is to be a cautious steward as well. And we don't support those who don't meet specific biblical criteria as being part of a Bible-believing, practicing church. And we don't support those who are not accountable to anyone. Everyone is accountable to somebody. And you may ask, is it safe for me to send money to a man who works underneath a board? Well, it depends on the board, amen. I remember back in the day, my dad got taken by this ministry. I remember a man by the name of Jim Baker. Jim Baker used to say this: make your checks out to Jim Baker's PTL Club. Now listen, right there I ought to tell you, if he said make it out to PTL Club, all right, that might be one thing. But he said, make it out to Jim Baker's PTL Club. And he had a board, but look at this scandal that brought onto the church, even though he wasn't part of a local New Testament church. Look at all the tithes that he stole from these people, including my father, from good Bible-preaching evangelistic churches. These preachers get on TV and they show a few hungry children. They made a pot of soup about 10 years ago and showed children running to that pot of soup. And people begin to grab their checkbooks and credit cards and begin to send money to that ministry. You ever listen to so-called Christian television? It's on 24/7, and basically every message is designed like this. They're pleading with people to send them their tithes and their offerings to them. There's two questions that we need to ask before we send outside of the local New Testament church, before we support any ministry. What is the ministry? And is that ministry church affiliated? And if the ministry is not church affiliated, it's not a ministry, because God works in and through the local New Testament church. You see, here's the truth. God has ordained three things in this world. First of all, he ordained government. And God's plan for government is that the people of this nation pay taxes to finance it. We might not like it, but that is God's plan. Number two, marriage. And God's plan for the home is to be financed by the sweat of the brow, not by the government dole system. Amen. I know there's times when people need help, and that's wonderful. We ought to help them. But I think too many people today are not following God's plan for the home, and they're not willing to earn by the sweat of their brow. And thirdly, the third institution, of course, is the local church. And God's plan is that his church be financed by tithes and love offerings of his people. God works through these three institutions to accomplish his will here on this earth. And God has commanded us to bring all the tithes into the storehouse. You might be wondering, well, why did he do that? Well, the church is where the word of God is preached and the word of God is taught. The church is the base by which Christians leave here and go house to house on their jobs and their neighbors to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is where God's ministers ordain missionaries and send them forth out into a lost and dying world that they might be saved. The church conducts the funerals and weddings of its members. The church is where members are married. The church, the deacons are responsible for overseeing and meeting the needs of the orphans and the widows. You see, God has a plan for the local New Testament church. And the Bible says the church is the storehouse of God. As we close this morning, God has a plan and a purpose for everything. Notice the wording, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. He has promised that if we're good stewards and we prove to be trustworthy, that there'll be blessings. Notice again, verse number 10 of Malachi 3. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God's purpose for asking for the tithe is, number one, to become a partner in our life. It's to finance His local New Testament church. It's to place us in a position where God could bless us so much that there'll not be room enough to receive it. There you have God's plan for tithing. There we have God's purpose for tithing. Let me say to all those who give faithfully of their tithes and their offerings and their grace-giving missions, thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord in and through Sharon Baptist Church. It enables the work and ministry of Sharon Baptist Church to move forward year after year. But if you're a regular attender and a member and aren't giving your tithe, your love gifts, and grace-giving missions in and through Sharon Baptist Church, ask yourself this question: why am I robbing God when the blessings of God are just waiting for me? God says to all, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,